Good morning.
Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. My name is Peggy Manola Small. I go by Peggy. My pronouns are she, hers, and her. I am a friend here of Prairie. Prairie aspires to be both an open-hearted and open-minded congregation. We welcome people of every ethnic and religious background, whatever your color, your sexual orientation, your family structure, your age, or abilities. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services. They are presented either by a Prairie member or a member of the wider community. Today, we have one of our very own friends presenting. All right, Jeremy Small is going to come read our opening words.
Our opening words are by Chiksika from the Shawnee tribe. When a white army battles Indians and wins, it is called a great victory. But if they lose, it is called a massacre.
Our chalice lighting comes from Remember's website. Remember means to put back that which is broken, to remember. Conditions on Pine Ridge represent a part of our world that is broken, a part that we seek to put back together. I was particularly excited to be asked to preside over today's service because I am a big fan of our presenter today. He's my son, in case you don't know. He also forgot to give me a bio, so I get to say whatever I want. Many of you know Aiden as an accomplished musician. He's played cello for the Wisconsin Youth Symphony Orchestra for many years, and he's played here at Prairie a few times. Some of you know Aiden as an experienced dungeon master, and he may have led you through a fun D&D quest. Aiden is varied in his interests, and he is currently a sophomore at Monona Grove Liberal Arts Charter School for the 21st Century, better known as MG21, where he studies a lot of different topics, and what impresses me the most when he's telling me a topic is how much depth he's gone into and how many different perspectives he's looked at while studying that topic. So he is here to present today regarding his trip to Pine Ridge Reservation and talking about the destigmatization of Native Indians.
I want to start this presentation off by giving you a quote from four famous presidents, starting with George Washington. As I talk about these, I want you to go and take the names and try and correlate how they are similar to each other. The following quote was written for Major General John Sullivan on May 31st in 1776. The letter was part of a set of instructions for him to follow whilst on his expedition, the Sullivan Expedition, against the Loyalists and the four nations of the Haudenosaunee, who had sided with the British. However, because of the language Washington used, the letter is mostly written with orders against the four nations. The expedition you are appointed to command is to be directed against the hostile tribes of the six nations of Indians, with their associates and adherents. The immediate objectives are the total destruction and devastation of their settlements and the capture of as many prisoners of every age and sex as possible. It will be essential to ruin their crops now in the ground and prevent them planting more. What follows that is just notes for him on logistics for his armies. But you will not, by any means, listen to any overture of peace before the total ruin of their settlements is effected. It is likely enough their fears, if they are unable to oppose us, will compel them to offers of peace, or policy may lead them to endeavor to amuse us in this way to gain time and scour for more effectual opposition. Our future security will be in their inability to injure us with the distance to which they are driven and in the terror with which the severity of the chastisement they receive will inspire them. Peace without this would be fallacious and temporary. New presence and addition of force from the enemy would engage them to break if the first fair opportunity, and all expenses of our extensive preparation would be lost. When we have effectively chastised them, then we may listen to peace and endeavor to further advantages from their fears. But even in this case, great caution will be necessary to guard against the snares which their treachery may hold. They must be explicit in their promises, give substantial pledges for their performance, and execute their engagements with decision and dispatch. Hostages are the only security to be dependent on. Washington is hoping that with the continual victories and destruction of crops and people by Major General Sullivan and his armies will be enough to cause the four nations to create treaties with the U.S. Even then, he warns that the U.S. should be wary of attempts to sabotage them from the four nations themselves. In an 1803 letter to William Henry Harrison, who was the governor of Indiana Territory, Thomas Jefferson wrote this: "When they," meaning the Indians, "withdraw themselves to a culture of a small piece of land, they will perceive how useless to them are their extensive forests, and will be willing to pair them off from time to time in exchange for necessaries for their farms and families. To promote this disposition to the exchange of lands, which they have to spare and we want, for necessaries which we have to spare and they want, we shall push our trading houses and be glad to see the good and influential individuals among them run in debt, because we observe that when these debts get beyond what the individuals can pay, they become willing to lope them off by a cession of lands. At our trading houses, too, we mean to sell so low as merely to repay us costs and charges, so as neither to lessen nor enlarge our capital. This is what private traders cannot do, for they must gain. They will consequently retire from the competition, and we shall thus get clear of this pest without giving offense or umbrage to Indians. And they will in time either incorporate with us as citizens of the United States or remove beyond the Mississippi." What Jefferson is alluding to William Henry Harrison is that once Native Americans find that living on small parcels of land, they will realize that farming is their only way of making, I guess, money. Jefferson's also saying that the government will increase their debts they have to the government as to make it unpayable for even the most influential of their Indians. Jefferson also wants to make trading house prices so low as to only give enough money to the government for what they have paid to give to the Indians. I suppose I should be ashamed to say that I take the Western view of the Indian. I don't go so far as to think the only good Indian is the dead Indian, but I believe 9 out of every 10 are, and I shouldn't like to inquire too closely in the case of the 10th. The most vicious cowboy has more principles than the average Indian. Take 300 low families of New York and New Jersey, support them for 50 years in vicious idleness, and you will have some idea of what the Indians are. Reckless, revengeful, fiendishly cruel, they rob and murder. Not the cowboys who can take care of themselves, but the defenseless lone settlers of the plains. As for the soldiers, an Indian chief once told Sheridan for a cannon. "What? Don't I kill my soldiers with it?" asked Sheridan, the general. "No," replied the chief. "Want to kill cowboy, kill the soldier with a club." And that was President Roosevelt in a speech in South Dakota and sometime in January 1886. Interestingly enough, Roosevelt had hardly seen a stereotypical noble red man as noted in earlier sagas. Many displaced Indians had been forced to survive by stealing the white man's cattle that had also displaced the American bison. Their attacks were the direct consequence of them having lost the wars of the plains to the U.S. Army. Having witnessed the slaughter of tens of millions of bison in both the Great Southern and Northern herds, the Indians were more often than not cheated out of the U.S. government's food allocations on their reservation by crooked agents. This story is widely known. Roosevelt is simply reflecting the popular Dakota stereotypes toward the defeated Indians that the cowboys and ranchers with whom he had associated himself with held. Also know that General George Armstrong Custer and the entire 7th Cavalry Regiment were wiped out less than 10 years at the Battle of Little Bighorn, or, for some of us, Custer's Last Stand, by the combined forces of the Lakota, Northern Cheyenne, and Arapaho tribes. The last president on Mount Rushmore is Abraham Lincoln, and that is the correlation between them all. They are all on Mount Rushmore. On December 7th, 1863, at the first session of the 38th Congress, Lincoln said the following: "The message provided at your last session for the removal of certain Indian tribes has been carried into effect. Sundry treaties have been negotiated, which will in due time be submitted for the constitutional action of the Senate. They contain stipulations for extinguishing the possessory rights of the Indians to large and valuable tracts of lands. It is hoped that the effect of these treaties will result in the establishment of permanent friendly relationships with such of these tribes as having been brought into frequent and bloody collision with our outlying settlements and immigrants. Sound policy and our imperative duty to these wards of the government demand our anxious and constant attention to the material well-being, to the progression in the arts of civilization, and above all, to that moral training which under the blessing of divine providence will confer upon them the elevated and sanctifying influences, the hopes and consolations of the Christian faith. I suggested in my last annual message the propriety of remodeling our Indian system. Subsequent events have satisfied me with this necessity. The details set forth in report of the Secretary evince the urgent need for immediate legislative action." And here, Lincoln is merely repeating what he has asked of the United States citizens and the Congress and how it has worked out. However, Lincoln still wants to do more with the Native Americans, such as turning them into Christians and taking away land from them. So, why choose these four to put on Mount Rushmore? Gutzon Borglum, Mount Rushmore's sculptor, said he chose Washington to represent the country's birth, Jefferson to represent the country's growth, Lincoln represents the preservation of the U.S. after its Civil War, and Roosevelt is a representative of the development of the nation. However, to Native Americans, the faces of the presidents on Rushmore are a constant reminder of the pain, suffering, racism, wars, and genocides that happened in the name of the United States of America and its immigrants from Europe, Africa, Asia, and even Australia. Luckily, treaties have been made between the Native Americans and the U.S., a total of 574 treaties. That's a good thing, right? I saw a couple of you shaking your head. That would be correct. All 574 of them have been broken in some way or another, either by the U.S. or by the Native Americans themselves. All 574 broken. Two of the cornucopia of broken treaties are both the 1861 and the 1868 Fort Laramie treaties, two separate treaties with the Cheyenne, Sioux, Arapaho, Crow, Assiniboine, Mandan, Hidatsa, and the Arikara Nation tribes. They were broken by the construction of the Keystone XL pipeline. Not to mention, the U.S. government has not yet apologized for what has happened to current Native American tribes, or vanquished Native American tribes. That raises the question of, how can we help Native Americans if the United States government is constantly creating and breaking the treaties they told Native Americans all the food and other benefits provided by the government would disappear if the Native Americans broke the treaties? with statistics like the lowest life expectancy of 66 years, the lowest income per capita of $8,768, and a little under half the population being listed as under 20 years old. Pine Ridge Reservation is amongst the worst counties in the United States. How can we help a reservation with stats like those? We can help them financially, or we can help build skirt trailers that we can skirt trailers that reservation residents have made their homes. We can build ramps to give residents an easier way to enter their trailers, or we can build bunk beds to keep residents off the ground when they sleep. And with the help of Remember, one of the countless organizations helping Native American tribes, we can do that. Remember, as you will find in your order of service, is spelled with a hyphen after the re part. One Lakota Indian told me that after they had their trailer skirted by Remember, one propane tank lasted for about 1.5 years, compared to a new propane tank every month or so without the help of skirting. Another resident for whom I was doing a skirt job for had a broken motor in the pop-out portion of their trailer. We helped push out the pop-out portion, after which the Lakota resident was so happy, tears of joy appeared. We can help the residents of the reservation by giving them things that we as a community take for granted. Relatively low gas and electric prices, or government benefits like health care and unemployment benefits. Not only do we help the Native Americans at Remember, we also are treated to their culture. Most nights we had at Remember were with a cultural presenter who spoke about different things, Lakota hand games, Lakota spirituality, or Lakota creation stories. The group I went with was able to go to and attend a class at one of the local high schools on the reservation that one presenter spoke at. On the last full day at Remember, we have a tour of some locations on the reservation, such as their Oglala Lakota College, the Pine Ridge Area Chamber of Commerce, and the Singing Horse Trading Post. All of what we did that week, and all of what Remember does, is to try and help the Lakota Nation while the U.S. government continues to barely meet treaty agreements. And I hope that, with support, the U.S. or Remember will continue to do so until the government apologizes for what has happened, what it's done to the Lakotas and other Native American tribes, and to try and exceed their treaty agreements. Thank you. Skirting, so on trailers, you know that there's the space between the trailer bottom and the ground. Skirting, you're putting up a frame underneath the trailer and attaching some siding. And basically, all that does is just trap the heat so it doesn't escape. It just gives it one less avenue to escape from. From the school that I went, there was about 10 students who went, and 4 adult chaperones. I think the average group there is around 50 people, maybe more. I think for further communications, it would either be through direct connection between Lakota and student. For future years, the school will hope to go out to the reservation again. It's biannual, I think. And then we funded it through just a fundraiser. We were selling baskets and just general fundraising. You can go yourself. There was 2 people that we were with at Remember who had come from New Jersey. It was just the 2 of them. It doesn't need to be a school group. It could be yourself. The pictures were from the, mostly from Badlands State Park, one of the nearby parks, or the only nearby park that I was near. We stayed with Remember. They have a small little, a couple buildings, and there is a dorm-style building there that we stayed in, so on the reservation.
Thank you, Aiden. Ron Fry is going to read our closing words.
These are the words of Luther Standing Bear, Ogallala Lakota Chief. The American Indian is of the soil, whether it be the region of forest, plains, pueblos, or mesas. He fits into the landscape, for the hand that fashioned the continent also fashioned the man for his surroundings. He once grew as naturally as the wild sunflowers. He belongs just as the buffalo belonged.
Thank you, everyone, for coming. Please greet your neighbor. We invite you to join us for coffee and conversation. And then if you're willing and able, please help us pick up so that we can be respectful of the space that we're generously being allowed to use. Thank you.